Brian is one of those guys that shake us all down and make sure that we understand the commandment of God to go ye forward to be a blessing to you guys. And so if you don't do anything tonight, I just ask that you give a round of applause for Brian Jenkins and his wife, Shanday, for the ministry that they do here in the city. Some of us have a way of taking these things for granted. But for the grace of God, I recognize that I can be in one of these seats that you guys are in. And so I understand that. And so for that, I'm thankful and I'm grateful. But there is a word from the Lord tonight, and I won't be before you too long. I recognize that I stand before the food. And I'm not that smart enough to be the one that stops you guys from eating. And so we're going to go to the word of God found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, and then verses 24 through 25. The New King James Version I'll be reading for. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, verses 24 through 25. Thus begins the reading of God's word. Yes, thank you. It's customary in my church that we stand and honor the reading of God's word. So if you don't mind, if we all can please stand. If you're able to stand, please stand. If you think it's not robbery, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, and then moving down to verse 24 through 25. Thus begins the reading of God's word. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. As I said, I won't be before you long. And the title of this message is Hope You Can Believe In. Hope You Can Believe In. The Apostle Paul is one of the most influential figures that you'll find in the Bible. His writings make up most of the New Testament, and as a result, he provides the greatest influence on the church and our religion of Christianity today. His writings are clear in providing the requirements of salvation and how to live a quality Christian life. Whether you're reading the book of Romans, where he's encouraging us as sinners that we're saved by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or Galatians, where he reassures that we have freedom from the law, Paul's writings are clear in providing a roadmap and explanation of what this Christian life is about. This book was probably written sometime in AD 57, and the original recipients were the Church of Rome, who were predominantly Gentiles. Paul was on his third missionary journey, ready to return from Jerusalem. And because he was not able to join them at the time, he wrote a letter instead. To this day, this book is one of the premier books that define our faith as Christians. It's a book that clearly defines that man cannot live up to the laws of God, but only by the sacrifice of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we all have access to the true and living God. But zooming into the text, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God and children then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we all may glorify together. Now, there are a number of foundational truths within the Holy Scriptures that we hold on to that give us confidence in what we believe. One of those is our belief that there's only one and true living God whose name is Jehovah, and that in three persons of the Godhead, they execute the work of creation and redemption. There is God, the great I am, that testified at the baptism of Jesus Christ with the words, this is my Father, this is my Son, for whom I'm well pleased. Then there's the great Redeemer himself, Jesus Christ, who possesses the only name by which we can get salvation. He's the sacrificial Lamb of God. And then there's the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, the Spirit that has the power to lead all to righteousness, that convicts of sin. And see, it's important to define this so you understand who we belong to if you're Christians. And through our faith of accepting Christ as the Son of God, we become adopted into the family of God with all rights and privileges. The beauty of the fact that we're adopted is that we're now heirs of God. We have an inheritance. Now, I don't know about you, that's something to shout about. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Let me help you here. Everybody knows Michael Jordan, right? Anybody who doesn't know Michael Jordan, if you know Michael Jordan, raise your hand, right? His heirness. Chicago Bulls, right? 6 championships. Now, I can't be mad at the fact that Michael Jordan has 3 children and I'm not one of them. I can't be mad at the fact that Halle Berry didn't call me 8 years ago and ask me to marry her so I can be an inheritance. I can't be mad at the fact that Michael Vick got a large contract and he's not my daddy. But my father is rich with houses and land. He holds the world in the palm of his hands. I'm grateful because Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so as a result of that, we are heirs, heirs to the promise of God. I don't know about you, but that's something to shout about. You know, you understand being a child, sometimes is being adopted by a family, you might face ridicule. You know how kids can be sometimes hurtful and mean? A child adopted in a biracial family might have challenges on the schoolyard. But we have to understand that being a Christian means that we are co-heirs with Christ, and that means that there's some suffering. Now, I'm not smart enough to tell you what your suffering is. I'm not smart enough to give you the list with your name on it. But whether it's sickness or disease, there's suffering. Whether it's the fact that you lose a loved one or you're homeless or you don't have a job, there's suffering. But that's part of the process. Look to somebody and say, that's part of the process. Being a Christian is part of the process. Suffering is part of the process. But listen to the encouragement of Paul. He said, first I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I love sports. I'm a big sports fan. I love watching mixed martial arts. Right, you may have seen it. These guys get into the octagon ring. They no gloves, no protection, and they beat each other to death. It's one of the only sports that assault is actually legal. But these guys get in the ring, and they don't even make the same amount of money as a football player, a basketball player, or a baseball player. But they get in the ring for the glory of the opportunity to hoist the trophy up to say that they've won their match. But in Christ, yes, they're suffering. But there's persecution and trials and tribulations, but it doesn't compare to the glory. It doesn't compare to the glory that the promise being in Christ has for us. And we have to understand that that hope is something that we have to understand. Sometimes we have a tendency to believe that life is pie in the sky. We think life is a cakewalk. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I suffer. And because you are co-heir, we suffer. And we have to understand that. Life is tough. I understand that, and I'm not a fool to think that I know what you're going through, but we have to understand life is tough. Certainly it's hard not knowing where your next meal is coming from. Certainly it's hard not understanding if you're going to get a breakthrough to get that job. But we have to have the hope and recognize that if we hold on to God, we'll be okay. But finally the Bible says, for we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we don't see, we eagerly wait with patience. Hope has been a word that's been passed around for a long time these last couple of years. Hope was a word that we thought about with the Philadelphia Phillies when they lost the championship. Hope is a word we use when we hope the Philadelphia Eagles rebound in their season. Even the president ran on a campaign that said change we can believe in, or hope. But my brothers, my sisters, my friends, I stop by to tell you that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We are saved by hope. We are saved that the faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior gives us access to the kingdom. Romans 10 says, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised them from the dead, we shall be saved. But with the heart, man believeth to the righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Time is filled with swift transition. None on earth left can move can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. My brothers, the church, the doors of the church are open. You've heard the word. You know what you're going through. You recognize what you're standing in. You understand the challenges that you face. But I think we understand that there's only hope in Jesus Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, the doors of the church are open. I ask you, if you're that person seeking for hope, looking for something that you can build a foundation on in Jesus Christ, I ask you to lift your hand up. If you are looking for Jesus Christ to be in your life, if you want to change, if you're looking for an opportunity to change your circumstances and your situation, amen. Amen. This is important. I see those hands. I know there's a lot of people in here that are looking for prayer. We're going to pray for you guys as well. But this is important. I think we need to understand salvation and what that means. What that means. The Bible says, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.